Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 I'm not sure. 82.2, or did we do that already? Okay. We were just reading how Kardiva Muni achieved perfection by stages. First, Brahman realization, then Paramatma realization and full Bhagavan realization. We're up to the fourth of the five verses. Anavriti shabdat iti nyayat bhaktiyatishayena labdvatma tvam eva pratipada yati atvam iti. According to the Sutra of Vedanta, by transcendental sound one never comes back. That he indeed attained his proper faculties, that is, Kardiva Muni, attained his proper faculties, is shown by the high degree of his devotion. In the verse beginning, Atmana. Okay, remember he lost his material faculties, and then he got his spiritual faculties. Evidence of that is that he manifested pure devotion for the Supreme Lord, described in the verse beginning, Atmana. Now this is supposedly according to the logic of the Vedanta Sutra, the very last sutra in the Vedanta, Anavritik Shabdat, by transcendental sound one never comes back. I don't know. I haven't done the research yet. What that has to do with devotional service. It's talking about liberation, that sutra. So I still have to find out what the connection is. I can't tell you. I don't hear it. Search it. I have to look at Baladeva Vibhushan's commentary and see how he explains that sutra. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Atmatra Paramatma. Well, Atma where? The verse says, Atmanam Sarvabhuteshu Bhagavantam. He saw the Supreme Lord in everybody's heart, or he saw the Supreme Lord who is in everybody's heart, and he's called Atma, Atmanam. Well, Atma there means Paramatma. Okay? Not that he saw himself, Kardiva Muni, as God. No, he saw Bhagavan, who was also Paramatma. Sarvata tasya Bhagavan evaspurat iti vakyartaha. The soul here is the super soul. And the verse intends to say that the personality of God had revealed himself fully to him, to Kardiva. Okay? And what after that? Tataha sakshat eva tat praptim aha ichadvesha iti. The last verse. Itadvesha vihinena sarvatra samachetasa. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena Prapta Bhagavati Gatihi. And then he directly achieved him. The Lord revealed himself to Kardiva, and then Kardiva achieved him directly. That means he revived his relationship with him. His active relationship. It's one thing to see God, it's another thing to have a personal relationship with him. So then he directly achieved him, as is described in the verse beginning Ichcha Dvesha. Tade Vamtena Bhagavati Gatihi Prapta. Thus he attained the path back to Godhead. Just, we can maybe figure out how to fix this. It droops. Let me just screw it down. I don't mean right this minute, but as a project. Thus he attained the path back to Godhead. Heyatwad anyatri cha dvesha vihinena. Tasmadeva hetop sarvatra samachetasa. He was, Kardama was freed from all hatred and desire, icha and dvesha. For other things, all hatred and desire for other things, because they deserve to be ignored. Okay, other things besides the Supreme Lord, you should just ignore them. Don't hate them, don't love them. And therefore he became, but it's he with a lowercase h, a mistake here, he became equally disposed to everything. Now this is also said, taruptam, narayana parap sarvena kutaschana bibhyati swagar pavargam nadatesh apituliar tadarshinaha. This is also stated. The same thing is also said in different words. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Okay, who said that? When? Okay. Yeah, that's right. Sixth canto. Ninth canto, sorry. Sixth canto. Okay. Yadva maya lakshmiya saha vartate iti samaha. Iti sahasa nama bhashyad bhagavat chetaseti. Or else, samachetasa, that's what Kardama had, equipoised mind. But it can also mean, samachetasa means, alternatively, with his mind on the personality of Godhead. According to the statement of the commentary of the Vishnu Sahasranam, the name Sama, it's one of the names in the thousand names of Vishnu. Sama indicates that he is present, Saha, with Ma, the goddess of fortune. Well, whose commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam? Do we have a footnote for that? This is number 34, let's see. Shankaracharya's commentary on the Vishnu Sahasranam. So Jiva Goswami here is quoting Shankaracharya. He doesn't give a name, though. He doesn't name me. Prapto Bhagavatim Gatim. See, the verse as we have it says Prapta Bhagavati Gati, because it's passive. The Gati was achieved. So Gati is feminine, Prapta is feminine as a passive verb. But alternatively, it might be read Prapto Bhagavatim Gatim. Iti pate sakardama eva tam gatim praptaha. If we take the alternative reading, prapto bhagavatim gatim, then he, Kardama, achieved that goal. Well, okay. That means taking prapta as active. And then Kardama is the subject, and he's masculine, so it's prapto. Okay. What's the sutra that lets you do that? What does that mean?
Then there is Visarga, Praptaha, and in front of that there is Gopal.
That's correct, but that's not what I was talking about. I'm not talking about the Sunday rule. I'm talking about the rule that lets the past, past, and participle be taken as a meaning active. Yeah, I'm sorry.
There is a meaning of gati.
Gati.
And work is akarmaka.
Or it's akarmaka, right? So is there a meaning of gati here? I think achieving is a kind of motion.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Yes.
It was mind.
The mind is moving. Prapti is also included in case you have any doubt about it, according to Jiva Goswami's own notes. Okay, so prapta can be understood as active or passive. Passive is prapta, to agree with the goal. Prapto is masculine if it's active, agreeing with Kardama, the person who did the achieving. Okay. Atra Bhagavad Bhakti Yogene Eva Visheshyam Iti. In this case, in this second case, that we take Prapto Bhagavatim Gatim, the only modifier of this idea is by the yoga of devotional service to the personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena Prapto Bhagavati Gati. If we take it as Prapto instead of Bhapta, there's no implied subject. I mean, the subject is Kardama himself. And the modifier of the verb is Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena. Oh, there's no other modifier. How's that? Prapta. I see. Otherwise, well, it's the modifier in both cases, active or passive, isn't it? It's karna in both cases, isn't it? We're using terminology here. It's the instrument. I don't see the difference that only in this case, in the case that we take it as prapta as active, that right, but this Bhagavad Bhakti Yogena phrase is being discussed. And it's being said that, I'm losing the place, that that only is the Visheshya. Oh, it's a mistake here. Visheshya, the word is Visheshya, not Visheshana. I have a footnote to myself. I'm sorry, I'm digressing here. Let me just see what the... Yeah, it's not Visheshya, it's not modifier. It's the Visheshya is the noun that's modified by an adjective. I think I'm getting lost here. Maybe we just skip over. It's a minor point. Maybe I'll just fix it later. Maybe. That in that case, the only modifier of this thing is. Nope, I don't understand how it could be Visheshyam. In the sentence, Bhakti Yogena is a Kriya Visheshyam. It's an adverb phrase. How it's Visheshya. I don't know. I'll leave this for now and puzzle over it. I already have a note. A minor point, anyway. Let's go on to the commentary. Anavriti Shabdat is the very last sutra of the Vedanta. So I have to add an explanation of how that is relevant to the current discussion. But what does that have to do with Kardama achieving pure devotion? I don't know yet. I'll have to research that. But going on to the next paragraph. When Kardama's devotion reached the critical level, it bore its fruit. First, the Paramatma revealed himself in Kardama's heart. And then the Paramatma replaced himself with his full appearances, both inside and without. Kardama, in the end, revived his individual loving relationship with the Supreme Lord and re-entered his eternal pastimes. He had participated in some of those pastimes in this temporary world in the role of Lord Kapiladeva's father, but now he could continue participating further in his undying spiritual body in the spiritual world. When a devotee has given up every last trace of attachment and aversion, he then can obtain this perfection. So Kardama's situation is not so unfortunate, even though, or foolish, even though he's leaving Kapila Dev just before the pastime, best part of the pastime starts. He's leaving, going on taking sannyas. But it's really not that unfortunate because he's going to join Lord Kapila Dev in his eternal pastimes in the spiritual world. Any comments or questions? Are we have any confusion about this? Except for what I can't figure out. Yes?
So, this Kapila Dev also has his planet there? Because you told Kardama Muni has gone and joined the pastimes with Kapila Dev in the spiritual world. So, Kapila Dev also has a planet in the spiritual world?
Why not? Almost all of the Lord's avatars do. There's a few exceptions that are considered temporary manifestations. But every eternal form of the Lord has its like unto planet. Kapila is one of the major avatars. He should definitely have his own planet. Yes?
We should have this meditation path because the Shakti can mean just transcendental soul or like Hare Krishna or mantra or
something.
Yeah. And also it can mean Shashakti Brahman, it's Vedas.
Right. It does mean Vedas, I know that much. But it's been a long time since I've read that sutra, so I can't give you a proper explanation of it. I don't want to start guessing. This is not, if you want to do guesswork, don't mess around with the Vedanta sutras. That's not where you should apply your imaginative guessing. The sutras of Vedanta can only be understood properly from the commentaries. You can't figure it out for yourself. They're too cryptic. Yes.
Also about this mission that he was indignant towards the sin, which is not related with Krishna. So, like in this verse, he achieved this stage of Kama and he doesn't do it to any sin, and then he gets emotional sense, and then he started crying for Krishna, or like,
yes.
So the medicine, then that he hadn't achieved Krishna yet, and then this is great thing that he becomes indignant towards everything, and then he starts crying for Krishna.
Yeah. Yes. Jiva Goswami is going to quote that verse right now. The one you just quoted, you repeat him to it. 82.4. Let's read it. Eva me voktam Sri Bhagavat Upanishatsu. It is similarly said in the Bhagavad Gita. Budhya vishuddhaya yukto dvidyatmanam yam yacha. In other words, this is also a description of gradual realization. First Brahman, then Paramatma, then Bhagavan. Budhya vishuddhaya yukto dvityatmanam niyam yacha shabdadin vishayams chaktva raga dvesha vyudasya cha vivikta sevi lagvashi yata vakaya manasaha dhyana yoga paro nityam vairagyam samupashvitaha ahamkaram balam darpam kamam krodam parigraham vimuchya nimumam shanto brahma bhuyaya kalpate brahma bhutat prasannatma nashochati nakangshati samat sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param bhaktya mam avijanati yavanyaschasmi tatvatah tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate taranantaram. Bhagavad Gita says, being purified by his intelligence and controlling the mind with determination, giving up the objects of sense gratification, being freed from attachment and hatred, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, who controls his body, mind, and power of speech, who is always in trance, and who is detached, free from false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and acceptance of material things, free from false proprietorship, and peaceful. Such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. One who is thus transcendentally situated and once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful, he never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. One can understand me as I am, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter the kingdom of God. Okay? So a person is elevated to Brahma Bhuta platform by giving up all material attachments and purifying his intelligence. That's Brahman realization. And then becoming fully joyful, never lamenting, desiring to have anything, never lamenting or desiring to have anything, and being equally disposed toward everybody, that's Paramatma realization. Because it's only because you see the presence of God in everyone's heart that you become equal to everybody. And then last, Mad Bhakti Mlabhate Param. One achieves transcendental devotional service and enters his kingdom. Okay, continuing. Atra Vishatir Milanar Taha Yata Duryodhanam Pranichyadya Yudhishthiram Pavishtavan Ayam Raja Iti. Here the word Vish means to join, Vishate, because otherwise you take it to mean you enter him, merge into the Supreme Lord. The Mayavadis can take it like that, but we take Vish, Yuga Goswami tells us to take Vish to mean join. As in the words, the king left Duryodhan and joined Yudhishthira. And there it's Pravishtavan. It doesn't mean the king entered Yudhishthira, literally, it means he joined his company. Shri Dashame Pi, Shri Gopaya, Brahma Sampatyanantarameva Vaikunto Drishta, Iti Shri Swami Bhireva Javyakya Tam. In the 10th canto, also, as Sridhar Swami has explained in his commentary, Vaikuntha thinks, was seen by the cowherds after they achieved realization of Brahma. So that sequence is there also in the pastime. Cowherd, Krishna showed the gopas at Brahmakund, right? He showed them Brahman, and then he showed them Vaikuntha, in that order. Sri Maitreya, the verse is under discussion, which is Bhagavatam 3:24, verses 43 to 47. Those verses were spoken by Sri Maitreya. Okay. Some commentary on this. It is Bhavartha Deepika commentary on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, 28th chapter of the 10th canto, verse 16. Sridhar Swami has this to say about Krishna's revelation of his spiritual realm to the cowherds of Raja. Sridhar Swami says, Brahma Radam Brahmaiva Radhavan Dvadaha. The so-called lake of Brahman, Brahma Radha, is Brahman itself. It's called a lake because it's vast like a lake. So it's not just he brought them to a lake. He brought them, Brahma Radha is a way of saying Brahman is the absolute truth. He showed them the absolute truth, Brahman. It's called lake because it's big like a lake. Tatra nigmagnastya vishesha vijnana bhavad tam brahma radam te tulita propitas tasmin madnascha. Someone who is immersed in it, in Brahman, loses awareness of differences. And thus they were brought to that lake of Brahman. They were made to realize it. And they were immersed in it. So he's taking it not as a literal dumping him to the lake, bringing him to some lake and dumping them in it, but he brought them to realization of Brahman, and they became immersed in that impersonal realization. Tu shabdoktam visesham aha. But the word tu is there in the verse. That indicates, but as the word but in this verse indicates, punam krishnodrita samadhir evotapita santo brahmanastasyaiva lokam vaikuntakyam dadrishur iti. That word but indicates that something different did happen, which is described. They were then lifted up, just like being raised out of a trance, and then they saw the world of Brahman called Vaikuntha. So he immersed them in personal realization, the Vrajabhasis, and then he pulled them out of it and showed them Vaikuntha. So there is a gradual realization. It's not that devotees never realize Brahman. Sometimes they go through that stage. It's Krishna's arrangement. Okay, any questions? It's okay? No questions? So you can understand, if you enter the Vaikuntha atmosphere, you seem to merge into it. But actually you don't lose your personal existence. Okay. We can move on to 483, which is a very short anuchet. Tata. Similarly, there is the statement. Tasmad gyanena sahitam gyatva swatmanamat. Svatmanam Uddhava Gyana Vigyana Sampano Bhajamam Bhakti Bhavitaha. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, through knowledge you should understand your own self first. Then, advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. That is from the 19th chapter of the 11th canto, Krishna speaking to Uddhava. So, Svatmanam Jiva Swarupam, Gyanam Vigyanam Cha Brahmyam. Okay, your own self, Svatmanam, is the identity of the Jiva, Jiva Swarupam. And Gyanam there, and realization, Vijnana, are in connection with Brahman. So there's a direct link between self-realization and Brahman realization. Especially since those who are on that impersonal level, they don't understand a difference between the Jivatma and the Paramatma. They just see Atma generically. So that Atma realization is Brahman realization. You are pure spirit. Brahman is the supreme pure spirit, but you're not seeing a difference between the two anyway. Okay, let me continue this. Kimbu Bhavuna Atra Shri Chatuksana Sukadaya Eva Udaranam Iti. What need is there to elaborate further? We could give more examples, but we won't bother. The four Kumaras, Shukadev, and others are all examples of this process. Kumaras and Shukadeva also went through this gradual process, first Brahman realization, then Bhagavan realization. Sri Bhagavan Uddhavam. This verse was spoken by the personality of Godhead to Uddhava. Commentary on it? The four Kumaras and Shukadeva are the most famous examples, but there have been also many other impersonalists blessed by the Supreme Lord's devotees, to be able to graduate to his devotional service. Uddhava was also a great scholar with a worldly reputation as a disciple of Brihaspati. And by becoming Krishna's intimate friend and advisor in Dwaraka, he rose way above the perfection of all other gyanis and yogis. He alone, among all the great devotees in Dwaraka, stayed with Krishna constantly every day. I'm talking about Uddhava because the verse was spoken to Uddhava. He alone, among all the great devotees, stayed with Krishna constantly almost every day. And he alone ate daily with Krishna and regularly got remnants from his plate. This is information from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Krishna chose him, Uddhava, to deliver a special message to his beloved gopis in Vrindavan. Okay, any questions on that? Yes? Book, excuse me.
One question, is it like Shri Yoga Swami, he goes again and again that he got to go through this gradual process. But at the same time, I get to understand that Krishna tells him Bhagavad Gita, Aranya Shantama, Ejinakya Vasta Dishantya, Yukana, Vibhakshama, Vahamikam. And if there was he was explaining that at the time of death, although he might not be completely liberated or completely to be granted to the spiritual world, but by Krishna's mercy and belief in him, which means that he just wants about the emotional life, he will take up all the curse and he will take us.
Well, yeah, but although the word is kshipram, quickly, it's not immediately. It's, you know, the person who's still contaminated but is devoted, he normally has to get free of that contamination before he gets his full perfection. Krishna can make exceptions, but he generally doesn't. It's expected that devotees do purify themselves before they expect the final perfection. The idea of quickly is relative. Quickly may mean 3-4 lifetimes.
I remember a few examples of Popat disciples. I don't remember his name, but he did something with the exterior, which means that she Popat. And then there was a book, somehow he gave the after the worship service. And then when Nan came to take his body, she Popat came and he believed in him because he missed him. So,
yes.
Special mercy
of there's a case of a likely case. We don't know exactly what happened because we didn't see the event from the inside, but it looks like Prabhupada, the devotee of Krishna, is showing more mercy than Krishna himself in such a case. Krishna didn't promise that much. He promised that quickly, after some time, a fallen devotee will become perfect. And here's a case of Prabhupada delivering someone automatically at the time of death, apparently. So that's the devotee showing more mercy than Krishna. Yeah?
I have one question about this gradual process of different stages from Shraddha to Nema. And usually they say that at the level of Nishtha, one is becoming liberated from all contamination. So does it mean that this process which Shri Yoga Sangha speaks about, one is practicing devotional service, that at the level of Nishtha, he becomes a proud realized?
I think there's something about that, maybe in Madhurya Kadambini, that there's some equivalence between reaching Nishtha, you know, getting past anartha nivritti and becoming firmly determined. And there's some equivalence between that and Brahman realization, yes. But I can't remember exactly where that might be said, but it makes sense also. Okay? Because beyond Nishtha, you start to become actually personally attracted to Krishna. It does seem to match up. Brahman realization, then Bhagavan realization.
Just in the case of Kadambini, he was located already for a long time, was situated at the level of Nishtha because he had a close identity
Brahmamuni was even beyond that. He was, he had prema, he had, loving attachment to Krishna, otherwise Krishna would not have become his son in the first place. So he's going through the motions of the sadhana. He really doesn't need it for himself. He's just doing it. You know, it's not that he, you know, used to be on the level of prema and fell down. But he never fell down. He's just going through the motions that, that's a sannyasi. He does the, he's doing the things a sannyasi is expected to do. A sannyasi is expected to realize Brahma. So he does it, even though he, even though he's way beyond that stage already. He's just going through the motions.
Maybe because he went to us on the level of prema, for him to ask, then it's easy. Just immediately come up and go on.
Yeah. Yeah, he did it very easily. No, no obstacles. Okay, anything else? Okay. Then we have another short anuchet, number 84. Sri Bhagavata Shabda Brahma Maya Kambu Sprishta Kapolas Taprakashita Yatarta Nigado Dhruvo Balakopi Tata Vivritavan Idyeva Mananda Chamatkara Vishesha Shravanad Abhitasyaiva Purnatvam Aha. Although a mere child, Dhruva had his head touched by the personality of Godhead with his conch shell, which comprises the spiritual sound of the Vedas. In this way, Dhruva was able to speak properly what was revealed to him by the Lord. So he not only got a revelation, but by getting the conch shell touching his head, he got the power to speak about it. Dhruva presented a very similar explanation, similar to the explanation we just read from Uddhava, from Krishna speaking to Uddhava. He presented a very similar explanation, stating that the personal form of God alone is complete, since hearing about him creates special ecstasy and wonder. See, the basic argument, point we're making in this section is that Bhagavan realization is the most complete realization. And the secondary, discussing about the gradual perfection of devotees first realizing Brahman realization, that's just to support the basic point that Bhagavan realization is the most complete realization of the Supreme Truth. Okay. The personal form of God alone is complete, since hearing about him creates special ecstasy and wonder. And that's what Dhruva comments on. He says, Yanir vritis tanukritam tava para padma dhyanad bhava janakata shravanena vasyat sa brahmani samahiman yatana apinata mabud pim vantakasi lulita patatam vimanat. My Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditating upon your lotus feet, or hearing about your glories from pure devotees, cannot be experienced in the perfection of your expansion as Brahma. What then to speak of the temporary happiness of heaven, where one can, must fall down from his airplane when cut down by the sword of death? Okay. Swamahimani in that verse. Asadharana mahatmyepi mabud na bhavatiti artaha. This bliss cannot be. It does not occur in the Lord's own greatness, his unique perfection as Brahma. Oh, so the bliss that the devotees get from thinking about Krishna's lotus feet is not experienced in Brahman realization. Even in the Lord's own glories, his impersonal glories, that bliss is not experienced. And as mentioned of the sword of death, the sword of death cuts down the material enjoyers and knocks them out of their airplanes. Antakasi Kalaha. The sword of death means time. time does this. Drags the enjoyer, material enjoyers down. Then, last sentence. Dhruva Shri Dhruva Priyam. This verse was spoken by Dhruva to Sri Dhruva Priya. That's the name of the eight-armed Vishnu who came and saved Dhruva. His name is mentioned also in the Lagu Bhagavatamrita. The name is simply Dhruva Priya. It's actually given as an example of an avatar that really wasn't scheduled. He just appeared because Dhruva demanded the Lord's reciprocation, so he made an ad hoc special appearance just to please Dhruva. So he's called Dhruva Priya. Commentary. Other avatars appear according to predicted schedules with appointed devotees serving as their parents and associates. But Dhruva Maharaja's rapid success in meditation and austerity was unexpected. The Lord of Vaikuntha had to make an unscheduled appearance just to show favor to Dhruva, without arranging for his birth from a father and mother. So that former Vishnu didn't have time to arrange to have a father and mother. Lord Narayan hastily arrived on the back of his carrier Garuda. This special avatar became known simply as Dhruva Priya, the beloved of Dhruva. Okay, any questions, comments? Yeah. Paramananda Puri.
Similarly for Gajendra, Lord came directly without father and mother. So what about that?
Yeah, his name is Gajendra Mokshana. Although he actually has a name, no, it's a little different because he's, what was his name? He's one of the, I think his name is Hari. He's one of the Manvantara avatars, and he doesn't have a father and mother. So he took birth, and he took birth as the Manvantara avatar in one of the ages, one of the Manus, Manvantaras. And then later he reappeared. You know, he appeared after being born. He appeared for Gajendra. Because his mother and father are mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and as part of his pastimes, he saved Gajendra. Yes, Tathagata?
Is there anything that's not exploited by the Supreme Lord?
Anyone?
Anything
that's not exploited by the Supreme Lord?
No, it's not that the Supreme Lord didn't know it was going to happen, but it wasn't recorded in the scripture. Other avatars are predicted in scripture, they're scheduled. The schedule is printed in the Bhagavatam and other Shastras. It's not that the Lord had no idea. He knows everything before it happens. Okay? Unexpected for us. Yeah? Oh, but Krishna had a question.
What about Mohini incarnation? Is that according to spirit or just appear?
The way Rupa Goswami, what he has to say about the Mohini avatar is that it's a very minor, not very well-known avatar. And I think also not eternal. That there's no Mohini, you know, Loka in Vaikuntha. And the other thing is, Prabhupada tells us, taking from one of the commentaries, that Lord Vishnu never actually has a female body, that he's in disguise. It's him, but he's not really female in that pastime. Okay, yeah.
It's about Bhogriya. So does it mean that it appears in Shri Bhagavatam, which is eternal scripture, so it should also be counted as a scheduled convention?
No, but the Bhagavatam describes it's eternal. The book is eternal, but it describes some things that are not eternal. Like it describes the creation of the material universe, that's not eternal. Because the Bhagavatam describes the creation of the universe doesn't make the universe eternal. So the Bhagavatam can describe temporary pastimes, it doesn't make them eternal. Just because the Bhagavatam is eternal.
But it describes also national avatars, the main avatars.
Yes.
Especially. main source of information, the only source of information. So if Dhruva is recorded as Srimad Bhagavatam, he also should be counted as the donor of information.
As a which one?
As a donor of avatar, like Shiva avatar, which is kind of...
No, but Bhagavatam describes eternal avatars and also a few not eternal avatars. Not everything, not every avatar described in the Bhagavatam is automatically eternal. Because the Bhagavatam does describe events and things that are not eternal. Okay. Yeah.
It's like, so, can we also give the deity's name, or like, suppose, Sarvagya-priya?
Sarvagya-priya. Well, you could. Krishna's Kaviraj made up a few names of Lord Chaitanya, like a Dada or whatever is Pranadatta. Yeah. Bhaktivinoda Thakur made up some names of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So if you have poetic inspiration, if you have devotional poetic inspiration, then you can have the license to make up names.
Okay.
Yeah, Parisishwara, Londonishwara. You have to have empowerment to do that, but it can't be done.
If somebody chants Londoneshwara every day, he gets the same amount
of time. He'll go to the eternal planet of Londoneshwara. Eternal London. Krishna will have to make some eternal London. But Prabhupada conceived of it. Yes?
The third gate, I think, this verse proves that chant is because of the devotion. They use this boat, then they leave this boat, and Srila Prabhupada explains that it's because they establish the rules, regulations, and devotional service for everybody to cross over.
Yes.
And then, because they are very dear to Krishna, Krishna agrees to accept those rules and regulations which establish relationships.
Yes.
So maybe in this case also, because Srila Prabhupada is very dear to Krishna, and he established the deities, and he gave these names, so Krishna accepted these names, and then he changed the names.
Yeah, or the names are eternal, they were forgotten or not known, and the devotee had the inspiration, just like a Vedic Rishi. The Vedic mantras are eternal, but they're not all known in the world, they're forgotten. So the Rishis remember the mantras in their meditation. So a devotee, an empowered devotee, can think of names that nobody remembers, but they're really eternal names. He's just recovering them.
So then we have to presume that this means Parish in the Parish in London is one of the eternal names.
Okay, and these cities in the material world were created as a perverted reflection of the real abode of London Ishwar, I guess.
If somebody chants Krishna without knowing Krishna is the Supreme Lord who has people bending from Bush boy.
Yes.
He gets the benefit of chanting Krishna's name.
If
somebody chants.
He gets the benefit of Namabhasa.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if somebody chants Nandanishwara without knowing proper name Krishna, will he get the same?
Suppose somebody in London who came to the temple doesn't know anything about Krishna, gets attracted to Nandanishwara. Yes, gets all benefits.
No, no. And just like somebody chants like.
Okay, some Indian gangster in London, and they call him Londoneshwara.
Yeah, just chant without any connection.
Yeah, and then?
So
yeah, that's the benefit of Namabhas, Sankirtan. You mean something else by it.
Yeah.
Like, there's, you don't have an Indian laundromat. Place, public place where there's a washing machine, you put money in the coins in the machine. It's called a laundromat, but in America, something they call Laundrorama. The brand name of the laundromat. So they're chanting Rama, but they unintentionally, that's Sankirtan. So you mean somebody else, but you're actually chanting the name fluently, but that's Namabhasa, the shadow of the name.
So,
yeah?
So
if someone doesn't mean the deity, means yeah. Something else, then that's Namabhasa. It is, because that's Prabhupada has certified that as the name of Krishna. Whether it was a name before or Krishna at that moment accepted it as a name, whatever, but on Prabhupada's authority, it's Krishna's name.
I would think that the Vandaneshwar would be a secondary name, but a primary name, because it's Krishna's relationship with the material world, not Krishna's relationship with the spiritual world. The same is that Ishvara of Paras, which is a temporary place,
yes.
So he's in control of everything, he's in control of the senses. These are material things.
Sure. Okay, to be fussy about it, yes, it's a golden name. It's a secondary name. But secondary names are still names. Is there a difference of the benefit you get from Gaudanam and Mukhyanam? I don't know. There are differences between the names, but are there different benefits of chanting those two different kinds of names? I don't remember. I mean, even a secondary name is good enough. It'll get you liberation at least. And
if it's a secondary name, then that name wouldn't have an eternal form. Because Paramatma
okay,
doesn't have an eternal form.
But for us, it does the job.
It
makes us Krishna conscious.
He's talking about using the name Parameshwara to go to the spiritual world where it is.
I see.
By Namabas
you get liberation. We're talking, we just said it's Namabas. We didn't say it was full Nam. We're talking about the person who chants Lalitanishra but doesn't even know that that's the Hare Krishna deity.
For previous that question, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, okay, and then we have to stop.
Yeah, about Lalitanishra, it's maybe a wish question. It is said in scriptures that even if we chant half the name, we get a lot of benefit. Instead of Ram, we say Ra, so still there is a lot of benefit. So in Lalitanishra, if somebody is talking
about. Just says London. I don't know. Yes, right. But I think also, I mean, if a secondary name attracts you to the person who has the name, and you learn his other names, then you can progress beyond that. The names are all connected to one person. If you recognize that, and you find out more about that person, you'll learn his primary names also. So it's not that you can't go any further just by chanting a secondary name. It can lead you to introduce you to the primary names. Yes. Yeah, Radha. Yes. It's not just Lalitanishwara, yeah. And it's expected, Prabhupada expected that people come to that temple and be introduced to chanting Hare Krishna, to the Bhagavad Gita, maybe to the Bhagavatam, and find out more about Krishna. He didn't want people just to be, he didn't want Lalitanishwara just to be a popular name. He wanted people to actually come to be educated in Krishna consciousness. And he used the name Lalitanishwara to attract them to do it. Okay, so we'll stop here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Mm-hmm.